Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is David, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, David.
For those who care to join, let's have a moment of silence to do with as you wish, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to show the difference.
Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask those present to please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. So, what we do normally is we take it at about a step a week pace around here, and rather than do a week on step 8 and a week on step 9, we do 2 weeks on steps 8 and 9. And tonight we're doing the second half of steps 8 and 9. And David H. from Virginia Beach, and Will C. from, where are you from, Will?
Suffolk.
Suffolk. Surprise. Woohoo! Suffolk in the house. Have graciously consented to come here and share with us tonight. So I'm very excited about that. So what we're going to do, I don't intend to read you to death, but I'm just going to start off with a paragraph, and then these gentlemen will share. So we'll get right into it. We're on page 80 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I always love this first sentence. The chances are we have domestic problems. Our troubles. Perhaps we're mixed up with women in a fashion we wouldn't care to have advertised. We doubt if in this respect alcoholics are fundamentally much worse than other people. But drinking does complicate sex relations in the home. After a few years with an alcoholic, a wife gets worn out, resentful, and uncommunicative. How could she be anything else? The husband begins to feel lonely, sorry for himself. He commences to look around the nightclubs or their equivalent or something besides liquor. Perhaps he's having a secret and exciting affair with the girl who understands. In fairness, we must say that she may understand, but what are we going to do about a thing like that? A man so involved often feels very remorseful at times, especially if he's married to a loyal and courageous gal who has literally gone through hell for him. I'll hand it over to David.
I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dave.
Thanks for having me here. Thanks for asking, David. Can y'all hear me in the back? All right. Well, I've never been married, so I'm not going to say anything on that. But I've had domestic troubles. I dated a girl for 7 years. We lived together starting in college, and that's about the closest I've been to being married. It was, we were in love. Started out not great, but we were both drinkers, and it revolved around drinking. And over time, my fears and insecurities prohibited me from being emotionally available. I was just too bound up, and there was no emotional intimacy. I couldn't talk about what was going on inside of me or any of that, and that just, of course, caused more drinking on both of our parts. And eventually, that led to the inability to be physically intimate, and it was a long downhill spiral. And that ended after about 7 years, and I had a few more relationships, none of which lasted more than a year, but it was the same pattern. It would start, and I'd more and more ignore them or stay bundled up and drink more. But the fear in me wouldn't allow me to stop the relationship. I would just continue to behave badly until they broke up with me. So I caused them all kinds of stress, all kinds of feelings of inferiority, because they thought it was them when it was me. And so that's what I have on that.
Thanks, Dave. Will?
My name is Will Cheney. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Will.
God blessed me with three beautiful, wonderful wives. I was married 25 years all total. And, I often hear alcoholics say that their picker is broken. Well, my first two wives, their picker was broken. And because of the fear and the desire to drink in my life, I couldn't be the husband that God intended me to be. And the second marriage in particular, I could be the husband at times, but the only upset we had in our marriage was when I drank too much. And by the time I got to the third wife, my picker was broken. Although she was beautiful and we had a wonderful time together, I based my choice on the physical aspect. And we never lived together. We had a weekend marriage, and it was great. And I could drink to my heart's content all week, and when I tried to go up to her house and do that, she didn't like it. I was very fortunate at the end. She was telling me I needed to get help. And once I had surrendered and started getting the help, I feel blessed that I was alone out in Suffolk. That's where God wanted me to be. And I didn't talk to her but occasionally, and I was careful not to try to impress her with my sobriety. And I knew that we weren't good for each other, even though when at times we could have a wonderful time together. And I'm very fortunate today that we still, although we don't see each other, I am able to enhance and enrich her life from afar and be supportive and show concern. These are the blessings that have happened through the solution of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you.
Thanks, Will. Let me just take the temperature in the room. Is everybody hearing okay? Everybody? Anybody? He's soft? Okay. All right, we're going to continue on page 81. Whatever the situation, we usually have to do something about it. If we're sure our wife does not know, should we tell her? Not always, we think. If she knows in a general way that we've been wild, should we tell her in detail? Undoubtedly, we should admit our fault. She may insist on knowing all the particulars. She may want to know who the woman is and where she is. We feel we ought to say that we have no right to involve another person. We are sorry for what we've done, and God willing, it shall not be repeated. More than that, we cannot do. We have no right to go further. Though there may be justifiable exceptions, and though we wish to lay down no rule of any sort, we have often found this the best course to take.
Dave? I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic still. And I was never unfaithful during that relationship I spoke of earlier with another woman, but I was unfaithful in that I was never there, emotionally and physically, like I said. And, she ended up having the affair, actually. And then she, I found out, and then she came home, wanted to move back home, and I said no. And really, because it was a relief. I knew that I wasn't capable of having a relationship. I'm, like it says in the book, constitutionally, or incapable of forming a true partnership with another human being. At that time, I was definitely that way, and I felt the relief that I wasn't going to have to pretend anymore. And so, unfortunately, she started drinking even more, and so did I. But I guess it was fortunately, actually, because she ended up in AA 2 years later. And she's been sober 25 years now. It took me another 13 or 14 years to make it. And she made amends to me. Wrote me a letter and started sending me AA books. which I threw in the junk drawer with all the bills I wasn't paying. But she did her side of the street, and I wasn't ready. And my sponsor recommended that I make direct amends to her because she's married with children and living a happy life out in Nebraska. But her brother is still one of my best friends, and he's one of us, but has trouble admitting it, going in and out, and he also has some mental issues. And while many of my friends have abandoned him, I've made indirect amends to her by staying in touch, by always taking his calls, by being helpful to him. And that's enriched my life. Thanks.
Okay. Will?
Will alcoholic. Will. My first sponsor used to say that when we're at the podium and we start speaking the truth, we speak more softly. And in that second marriage that was quite magical for 12 years, I never had the desire, or in any of my marriages, I never had the desire to be with anyone else. And I had my plate full, calculating the times that I might be able to drink the way I wanted to. And even as I've went after recovery, I haven't had a woman in my life for the first 4 years. And I have the sense that God was waiting until I was ready. And I have yearned for spiritually based conversation with a woman outside of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've gotten that recently in my life. And it's quite wonderful. And I keep finding myself wanting more. And so I've come up with a prayer that works in a lot of facets of my life that I think God gave me the prayer. And it's, please help me to participate in her life in the way that God intends. And I've caused enough disturbance in people's lives. And the disturbance I caused in that, in all the marriages, my sponsor said, Will, you don't get to go back and make amends. But it's through the way I live in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that second wife, I get opportunities. She'll email or call and say, I've made a batch of homemade soup for you. Come on by. And she has a boyfriend. I keep my beak out of her business. And we have a wonderful 45-minute conversation. And when I try to reciprocate, she says, you keep doing what you do in AA. That's enough. What a wonderful thing for me. Thank you.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Will.
We're going to pick it up on page 81. If we have no such complication, there is plenty we should do at home. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is to keep sober. Certainly he must keep sober, for there will be no home if he doesn't. But he is yet a long way from making good to the wife or parents whom for years he has so shockingly treated. Passing all understanding is the patience mothers and wives have had with alcoholics. Had not this been so, many of us would have no homes today, would perhaps be dead. The alcoholic is like a tornado roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish, inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. He is like the farmer who came up out of his cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, "Don't see anything the matter here, Ma. Ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing?"
Dave? My mother died when I was in high school, and she had cancer for a few years, and she had been the disciplinarian in the house. I had resentments against her and against God for 25 years after that, and that was one of the resentments that kept me drunk, and it was something I had to deal with. And I was just angry because she left. No, she didn't leave on because she wanted to, and God didn't do it to me. He took her. But I needed help. I needed a sponsor to help me see that and to get through it. And so I made her part of my higher power. And when I prayed at night, I prayed for her help, because I know she loved me. And then I wrote a letter, and I went to her grave, and I read the letter. And I continue to go to her grave often. She's up in Charlottesville where we were raised. And she's still part of my higher power. My father was still alive, and I made direct amends to him, and I had to write it down and read it because I couldn't keep I was crying the whole way. But he kept it, and he framed it and put it on his dresser. So I had to look at it every time I went and visited it. But, it touched him. It touched him. And more than that, I had to continue, like with all of these I've talked about, continue to make amends. And by visiting often, I would fly him up here if my family came to the beach, or go down and get him, and he lived in Georgia. Cards, phone calls, doing the things I never did. I used to get so angry, nobody's calling me. I never called them. I never called them back when they did call. And so I got to spend the last 2 months of his life back Christmas before last. He was at the VA down there in Georgia. I got to spend most of it at his bedside with him. That was a gift of AA because, I wouldn't have been there if I'd have been drinking. I know that. And I wouldn't have had the relationship I had with him. Thanks.
Will alcoholic?
Hey, Will.
Yeah, the blessing of being alone when I was new. I had, God had my position, my life, so I could focus on Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was talking outside the meeting, before the meeting, to a fellow with 4 months. And I'm able to transport myself back to that time. I was right where I needed to be. And I had a dad with 20 years of sobriety who was supportive and helpful to me out in Dallas, and a brother in Florida with an older brother with 13 years. But when I was new, my brother would say on the phone, "I don't want to live AA like Dad. I just want to stay sober." And even though I was new, I knew that just staying sober wasn't going to work for me. I didn't know what living AA meant. But I knew the other part wasn't going to be the path for me. And thank God I was blessed with a sponsor with 16 years of sobriety to guide me through the steps, to guide me to have a personal relationship with God and to be of service in Alcoholics Anonymous, right along beside me, doing the same things I was doing. And as a result, when it came time to do the eighth and ninth steps, I was willing, and I was ready. And on the way down to Florida, in a hotel room, I was going to make my first amends to my family that night. And I was on my knees that morning, and it's a spiritual awakening and a psychic change that occurred. I believe God knew at that point that I was going to do the work, that I was willing. And he took the burden of fear and depression away, and I had outgrown that fear by what my sponsor had guided me to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. We're going to continue on page 83. Yes. Excuse me. There is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. David? Oh, sorry. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Unless one's family expresses a desire to live upon spiritual principles, we think we ought not urge them. We should not talk incessantly about spiritual matters. They will change in time. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. We must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone.
David. Well, for me, when we talk about family, for me, it's my brothers and sisters and their kids. And fortunately, they all loved me and supported me despite all the harm and worry and stress that I'd caused them over the years. And I came to AA through a treatment center, and they had a thing called a confront where you sat down with family members and aired your grievances. Not recommended to do that in AA without a sponsor, without doing the first seven and eight, first eight steps. But in this situation, I told him that, they didn't take care of my father the way I thought they should, because they were successful, I had never done anything for him, and he pointed that out, and he was right. But then it got to, the kids miss you, They always say at the holiday, "Where's Uncle Dave?" And man, that hurt, because I'm actually closer in age to some of my nieces and nephews than my older sister, And I'm young at heart. I never grew up because I'm an alcoholic. So I related to them, and that hurt. And I, like the book said, I had every intention of showing up, but when payday came, I was gone, and I never made it there. So I made direct amends to each member of the family, all my brothers and sisters, my nieces and nephews, and again, continue to make living amends by being there when I say I will, by making phone calls and sending cards. And as a result, my family has been, they've been churchgoers their whole lives, but they're spiritual as well as religious, and they have that spark, and they help people. But our family as a whole has grown as a result of me being an AA. Our discussions are different. We don't talk just about weather and sports, We talk about real things, about life and love and happiness. And, my brother a couple of weeks ago called me with a relationship problem of all things. And anyway, I gave him, just some experience of mine, because that's what we're taught to do in here. And he said to me at the end, "You're my best friend, and I love you." And I had to say that for 10 years to get him to say it, but he says it now. And it's just a wonderful thing. And again, if it weren't for AA and the 12 steps and this higher power in here, I'd have missed out on all of that, like I did the 20 years prior to it. And I don't want to miss it anymore. Thanks.
Will, alcoholic.
Hey, Will.
The night I met my third wife, we were at a cabin at a state park in South Carolina. I had a case of really good Pinot Noir in the car. I had my Bose stereo, and at 3 in the morning, we're both drunk dancing to Prince. I was in my glory, and the little cabin was just a bouncing. And I told her that night that I'm a drunk and I don't need to be anybody's stepfather. I had told everybody in my life that I didn't want any entanglements, and 6 months later we were married, because that's what I had to have. And when I would get drunk after our marriage, and the next morning she said, "Why'd you get so drunk last night?" And I said, "I told you I was a drunk the night we met. Are we going to have to do another autopsy on this?" I wasn't a big fan of the autopsy. And thank goodness that I didn't have to sit down and analyze everything with her and the two daughters after I recovered. That wasn't a suggestion my sponsor made to me. And she's never really shown any desire to do an autopsy now that I've recovered. And I talked, once I'd had that day, I went and made my amends after the spiritual awakening. And when I came back home, and whenever I was with either one of my second or third wife, I'm sure I talked about it a lot. I'm sure, it was a sense of joy and freedom I never experienced in my life. And I came to realize that people that aren't in the program, doing what I'm doing, just not that interested. They're happy that I'm living a sober life, and that's enough. Thank you.
Thanks, Will. All right, we're going to keep going on page 83. There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would right them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. There may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone.
Well, this is once again a reason why I need a sponsor. I need somebody to guide me through this effort and to let me know, when I will do more harm by making an amends than not making a direct amends. He was very creative in ways to make indirect amends in those cases, And then, of course, over time, things may change, and as long as I'm willing to make it, if that happens. He said that was good. So the thing that this whole process has given me, and part of that willingness, of course, is forgiveness. I have to make sure I've forgiven whoever I'm going to make amends to for any wrong that I perceive they may have done to me, because usually it's just a perception I found. But through this process, I can now walk down the street and look people in the eye. For the most part, I still have a little fear in me, of course, but I don't have the shame and remorse that I once had. I've dealt with that through the 12 steps. God's removed it, and today I can, occasionally I will run into somebody that sparks a memory, but I can take care of it at that point. I don't run and hide like I used to. My emotional isolation, which turned into physical isolation, is there no more. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Will alcoholic, and I had a firm but loving sponsor. And when we sat down, when I'd done my eighth step and had my list, and we sat down to start going over the list, he guided me in a firm way about what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing. I needed that. He gave me a script. Boy, that helped so much. As a sober, recovered alcoholic, I now realize the harm, worry, concern that I have caused you. What can I do to make it right? Short and sweet and sincere. And every person that I went to and said that script, and it came from the heart, even though it was a script, they were so kind to me. And to every single one of them said, just keep doing what you're doing. And I said, I will. I'll keep doing it one day at a time. I can't promise I'll never drink again. And they said, we understand that. I believe that by doing this work and continuing to be willing to do more, that I get a daily inoculation from the desire to drink. And when I get on my knees every morning, the last prayer is, God, please guide me to be who I can be helpful to. And that comes in many different forms, whether it's sitting here or making the coffee or there's so many various ways we can carry the message. And I was doing that at first. It was a demonstration of the suffering I had done in my life. I was reluctant to go make amends. But I had no choice because I couldn't suffer again. Now today, it's as much a reflection of my love for this solution. And it's given me a life and a sense of joy and freedom that I never experienced when I ran under my own steam. Thank you.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Will. All right. Our final paragraph of the evening is on page 83, typically known as the promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.
I'm so grateful that we read those at a lot of the meetings. It meant so much to me in my early sobriety, because not only was I hopeless when I came to AA, I felt useless, just totally useless. I hadn't done anything worthwhile in years, you know. And I spent a couple of those years on a couch, more or less, you know. And I could see it in the people in AA that they were useful and they were helping each other, and that's how they became useful. And the promises said that. And when my 5-day evaluation period of treatment turned into 3 months of inpatient treatment, I could see the guys that had been there a month, 2 months, helping people that were in their first week or their second week, you know, and I wanted that. I really did. I wanted to get to that point where I could help people. And of course, I thought it took time, but I realize now that, you know, it starts just by asking somebody to sponsor me. You know, I'm helping that person when I do that, by making a phone call to somebody. I had a situation when my first AA relationship broke up where I was despairing at home. Oh God, please, you know, help me, which meant please bring her back, and please help me, please help me. And the phone rings, and it's a newcomer on the other end. Said my wife and kids are going out of town. Come over and eat hamburgers with me. And that was God's answer, and that saved me. So I mean, from the beginning, we can help each other just by, you know, reaching out and asking for help. You know, we can give people rides if we have a license. You know, we can make coffee and get here early and talk and help set up and clean up. These are things that established a foundation for me and have allowed me to become part of. You know, I felt useless, isolated, non-existent. And AA gave me that back. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
Will, alcoholic.
Hey, Will.
I was in an AA meeting in South Florida at 7 in the morning. My mother was in the hospice when they read the promises, and the hair stood up on my neck, and I got goosebumps because I realized they were starting to occur in my life. And I was talking on the phone the other day with another alcoholic. I've had some big curveballs in recovery. A death, disease, different things that occur that I wouldn't have handled well when I was drinking. In fact, I would have been inconsolable, and the disease I would have ignored. Just kept drinking. And today, as David said earlier, I can't do this alone. And whenever these curveballs come up, I talk to God about it. And I make him part of the conversation. And I know it's these big deals, that it's my time to shine. It's my time to be the man that God intends me to be. And it's so simple that when I talk to God and I say, you take care of this disease, I'm going to keep doing what I do. And he smiles upon me. And my life gets better. I could have never lived that way on my own. It's only with God's help, with the sponsor's help, with the help of the people in the AA meeting, that this is possible. David became my sponsor about 3 months ago. I call him every morning at 7 o'clock. If I call at 7:05, he gets worried. I like that. I never know when he's going to say something that I need to hear. And we have a great relationship. We already did when he became my sponsor, and we've learned a lot about each other by my calling every day. I go to his house once a week for the meeting. I have to continue to do what I was taught in the beginning and call my sponsor every day and pray. I was at a meeting last night, and a guy with that had 4 years just like me came to pick up a white chip. Boy, that was really powerful to me. I need to be really paying attention, because if I start calling David at 7 in the morning, I'll be picking up a white chip. And I talked to another alcoholic the other day that was contemplating drinking. I said, well, where are you going to do it? Are you going to do it around here at home? Well, I guess. I said, oh, I'd want to go to the Bahamas, somewhere I've never been, where nobody knows me. And not cause anybody I know any disturbance, just the people in the Bahamas, and then I can die. And I was just trying, I never say to somebody, don't drink. But that was my take. That's what I would do if I became restless, irritable, and discontent. I'd cash into retirement and let it fly, baby. That's the way I roll. But because I have this solution, I'm going to continue to do this work. When I get up tomorrow, I'm going to get on my knees and ask for God's help to guide me who I can be helpful to. It's a wonderful way to live. Thank you.
Thanks, Will.
Thank you. Well, speaking of curveballs, we are ahead of schedule tonight, and I wonder, I'll invite you guys to maybe share an amends story that maybe you didn't want to make, or maybe one that was tough, or maybe something, particularly how your sponsor might have helped you through one. You want to just go off the book and just talk about the amends a little bit, and then we'll get ready to go to dinner?
You talking to us?
I'm talking to you guys.
Yeah, I'll share one, sure. I had a business partner. And I was a software engineer out of college, and he was a friend of mine in school. We did a lot of projects together, and I got him a job where I was working. But we started a business on the side and doing software. And truth is, you know, I didn't particularly like him, but I was doing this, and I would have told you to get rich, you know, to start this firm and be rich. But really what I wanted was to set my own hours, because we had to go to work at 7 in the morning. I hated that, because it, you know, made it a lot. I was hungover all the time. So anyway, we got to a point where we went out on our own, and we were in business 4 or 5 years. And I just kept building the resentment more and more that he didn't give me enough ownership in the company, because it was his idea. But anyway. And so over time, you know, I have built up this resentment. And that was, even when in recovery, when I got to 8 and 9, it was one I didn't want to make. And my sponsor said, well, put them in 3 columns, the ones you want to make right away, the ones you're on the fence about, and the ones you don't want to make. And he, of course, was in the ones I don't want to make category. But over time, as I made those amends, you know, people started to shift. And I began to see the value of it. And like Will, my script was, This is what I did. It was wrong. This is what I'm doing to fix it, and this is what I'm doing so it doesn't happen again. And so finally, I called him up, and we had lunch. And of course, he gave the old, "Oh, it wasn't that bad. You weren't that bad." But I said, "Yes, I was. Yeah, I appreciate you trying to sugarcoat it, but I was." And so since that time, we played golf together yesterday. You know, we're not the best of friends, but we're friends. You know, and I see the good in him today. You know, but what I saw in the past was really just a reflection of me. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
Will, alcoholic.
Hey, Will.
Yes, back in the 90s, before I became a partner in my business, my checks were bouncing, my expenses were 9 months behind, and I said, "I'm going to get mine." And I started stealing the proceeds from the cash sales, and they didn't keep inventory, and it was very easy to do. And my wife, Heidi, had her pom-poms out. She'd go in my wallet, and I go, "Oh, we had some cash sales today." She was encouraging me. But it was, you know, that came home to roost. It was my deal. I'm the one that did the stealing. And, you know, my pencil hovered over, when I was doing that four step, hovered over the page, shaking before I wrote my partner's names down. Because I had fear at that time about him. I thought my career in this business would be over. I had a lot of fear. But I remembered "Fearless and Thorough in Half Measures Availed Us Nothing." And I put the names down. And when it came time, the morning of, I got on my knees and I just asked for God's help. "Please give me the strength and courage and help me find the words." And driving over there, it was just a wonderful experience. I felt uplifted. I felt God's grace. I felt like I was in the sunlight of the Spirit. And I got to my main partner's house. We sat out on his porch. And I had doubled what I thought I had taken and put it in an envelope. Wanted to make sure I got it right, even if I erred on the wrong side. I was going to err on the side of them getting their money back. And I handed it to him, and he said, "I hate to get money like this. I just don't know what to do with it." I said, "That ain't my problem." And we sat, we had a wonderful conversation for an hour, and he showed me love and kindness. And I went to the next partner. He said, "You're an Alcoholics Anonymous? I've been around you when you were drinking. You seem like you're okay." I said, "Well, I have a good way." I was pretty good at hiding it around business. And it, once again, he showed me nothing but love and kindness. And we sat for an hour and talked. It's never been mentioned again. And I made it right. But I needed my sponsor's guy. You see, people come in and tell me 2 weeks later, "I went and made it a med today." I go, "Okay, to see how that works out." I don't really say anything to them, but I understand that urge, because I had a lot of regret. I particularly regretted going to my 40th high school reunion 2 weeks before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I looked like a 60-year-old hippie. With a straw hat on. I hope nobody put it on YouTube, but who knows. But I wanted to show my credentials, you know, and I was in all my glory. But I cringe a little bit about that still, but I don't really regret it. It just had to be that way. Thank you.
Thanks. Are you saying you're not a 60-year-old hippie?
Well, in my heart, I don't need to display it.
We're going to pass the seven tradition basket. Seven tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seven tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central offices, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. And are there any AA-related announcements this evening?
Lisa? My name is Lisa. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Saturday morning brunch bunch. We meet on Saturday morning in Virginia Beach at Old Donation Episcopal Church. We are having our 25th anniversary party October the 5th. It's going to be at 9. We're going to have breakfast at 9, and then we're going to have a meeting from 9:30 to 10:45. We're going to have two speakers, read a little history about our group. We'd love to have y'all come out.
October the 5th, Saturday morning, brunch bunch. David?
I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dave.
This Sunday, the New Day Group is having their yearly picnic, 11th annual. It's at Woodstock Park, not in New York, but over on Providence Road, right where it crosses over 64. There's usually 200 or 300 people there. You can bring the kids and the dogs and the cats, whatever you want. We provide hamburgers and hot dogs, and if you want to bring a beverage or a side dish or dessert, please come out. It's from 10 to 5 on Sunday, Woodstock Park on Providence Road. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. Cool. Anybody else?
Will Alcoholic.
Hey, Will.
Wow. In my capacity as the chairperson of the Public Information Committee, I have been coordinating speakers for the Naval Base. It's every Monday morning at 10 to 11. We speak to sailors who are going to sea for the first time. We do 15 minutes of informational and then a half hour experience, strength and hope, and then open it up for questions. Military service is a bonus, but not a prerequisite if you'd like to serve. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Sarah?
Hey, I'm Sarah, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Sarah.
I'm a member of this home group, and on the 25th and 26th of October, Simple Actions is hosting a mini conference at Getting United Methodist Church. The 25th of October is a Friday. That evening is going to have Bob Darrell flown in from Las Vegas, and he's going to start the conference, and then the following day there's going to be more conference and lunch and more conference, and it's I apologize, but the flyer has everything you need to know, and everybody in the home group knows more, so that was my best shot for fun and for free.
For thank fun you. And for free.
All right, thanks, sir.
Behind Gina I see a hand.
Wild. Hey, Wild.
Bacon.
Bacon.
I thought it was a pancake. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's going to be a raffle.
Students coming in from Pennsylvania. And anyone is welcome. Bring a dish if you wish. And volunteers are always welcome. It's going to be at 124 West Freemason Street in Norwich at the Upper Committee Methodist Church at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. Anything else, just see me after the meeting. Thank you.
10 a.m. 10 a.m. on September 21st at Epworth United Methodist Church. Bacon and pancakes. Anybody else? All right, the Simple Actions Group is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. And is there anybody here tonight, just so that we can get to know you by your first name, who is in their first 30 days of sobriety? We'd just like your name so we can welcome you. Anybody at all? Anybody else? 30 days.
All right.
All right. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Would anyone willing to be a sponsor please raise your hand? See how that works? 30 days, sponsor. There's literature available way over yonder. That's David's other name, yonder. Over yonder, that way. If you can fold it, it's free. Take it with you. If you would like to purchase a book, just see a home group member. And in closing, I'd like to thank everyone who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight. All are welcome to attend the meeting after the meeting, which is a point of discussion. Some people are suggesting something other than that Mexican place. Does anybody care? Anybody care at all?
Five Guys, 21st Street.
Five Guys going once?
What?
Yeah. Twice. Anybody in favor of Five Guys?
Yeah.
I saw another hand.
They have a veggie burger? No,
they do.
There are vegetables.
We're going to go to Five Guys on 21st All Street right. after the meeting. And is there anybody inspired to read the last two paragraphs on page 164, Catherine? Nice and loud.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Amen. Let's close with the Lord's Prayer, please.
Thank you so much.
That was awesome. I wasn't saying anything, but I enjoyed it. That was a big crowd, boy. Even without them, people talking.
Look at Iran, building bridges. Building bridges.
Yeah. Look, it's kind of like a heart.
Right there. Yeah. Evan, would you lead us?
Yeah, who keeps us sober?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.